Hello and welcome to the True Faith Matchday Review podcast in association with Fans Bet and sponsored by our patrons. Thank you very much to our very loyal patrons. We couldn't put this out for free without you. And if you enjoy this and you're not a patron, do consider subscribing. It's a wonderful New Year's resolution to make, to listen to more podcasts. Very wholesome thing to do. We'll try and keep them wholesome. I'm joined today by Norman Riley and Adam Widrington.
How are we doing?
Good morning.
There we are. And we are going to be discussing yesterday's 1-1 draw at Vicarage Road between the Toon and Watford. So I was there with Norman, so I'm just going to start the pod with sort of the day, get a bit of the atmosphere. Norman, what did we do? Who were we with? Mostly his friends.
We met at 11 at Euston, met up with a Colombian lad I know and his relatives, so four Colombians, and the young lad, he is on Colchester's book, so hopefully we'll see him playing professional football one day. John turned up looking like death, put a couple of drinks down him, and he got some colour in his face. Sean joined us with his mate Andy, and
Ali was there as well.
Andy was there, sorry, as well, from Heather Green, which is where I live, and we just had a good day of drinking and watching football, and for once, it was one of those rare occasions where what happened on the pitch was actually an enjoyable part of the day as well. So
yeah,
all in all, a brilliant time.
It's true. I will add to that. The atmosphere was great. We were away end like did not stop singing. It was just so loud. I think made amplified by the fact that the Watford fans seemed to be quiet until obviously they equalised. There was almost no noise from them at all, and we were extremely noisy. So that was good. Norman even sang in Spanish for a while, which was.
How many pints deep were you at this point, Norman?
Shall we say three?
Unclear.
Three flagons.
It's dry ground as well, you know.
3 gallons.
It's a dry ground.
I put it this way, I was operating heavy machinery at the time, so I think I was probably, all right. Because you're not supposed to operate heavy machinery after 6 pints, so I must have had less than 6.
So must have done.
By heavy machinery, I mean my phone.
Yes, okay, so Adam, I'm going to come to you now. The team sheet came out, obviously, as usual, about an hour before usual Twitter kind of meltdown about it. No Kennedy, oh my God, he's not even on the squad. What was your reaction to all of that?
To be honest, if you've been watching Newcastle United for the last month, it's probably not a huge shock. You might have thought he might have, made the subs bench, but ultimately, he's contributed very little. His attitude's been poor. Whether he's been injured or not, he obviously had that ingrown toenail that's caused him a bit of bother. Whether that's still caused, I don't want to completely lambast the lad if he is carrying an injury and he's not quite up to scratch yet. But, I think the players that came in there was an even bigger meltdown for Liverpool when it was Hosselu and Muto starting up front. So the return of Rondon, this was, forget the Liverpool game, this was the big game of the week. This was the huge game. This is what you keep Salomon Rondon refreshed for. And, he absolutely paid back, in terms of that rest. I don't think he would have been half as sharp as he was yesterday. And, you look at the disallowed goal as well as he was. Mm-hmm. Had he started Anfield and he'd been blown out of his arse about 70 minutes only days ago, I don't think we would have got the impact. And I think we would have lost against Watford had he not. So, great to see sort of Federico Fernandez back, but obviously he went off at half-time for the second time in a few weeks. So that's a little bit worrying for the forthcoming game against Man United. But in terms of the team sheet, we knew we were going to play five at the back. We knew Richie was going to be left. We knew Yedlin was going to be right. We knew that it was either going to be Hayden or Longstaff, and it was always going to be Hayden out of those two in the middle.
Yeah.
So the rest of the team sort of picked itself, really. And Atsu is a player who I've criticised very heavily for months and months and months. But actually, the last few games I've seen him in, I'm not saying he's outstanding and he's amazing, he's brilliant. But tell you what, he's really putting some shifts in and he's doing the best that he possibly can with the talent that he has. So I was quite invigorated by the team sheet yesterday, and thought, yeah, this is probably about as strong as we could field at this point in time.
Yeah, invigorated. I like that. I would agree. I was surprised he wasn't even on a sub, but ultimately, I didn't really think he. Yeah, like over the last month, the last games, I haven't really felt like he's even really on the pitch much. So, I think I was surprised more because of getting used to seeing him rather than knowing that we don't have a whole host of people to pick from. That's where my surprise came from. But ultimately, I didn't think we were any the less for not having him on the team yesterday.
And also, I mean, there's a lot of rumours swirling around that we're going to cancel his loan deal and all this kind of stuff. And to be honest, I don't think we're in any sort of luxurious position to cancel anybody's loan deal, no matter how deep a dip of form he's in at the minute. Like, we can't afford to cut loose that deal because he's still one of the better players and more talented players that we have. Uh-huh. And do you trust the Newcastle directors to bring in a replacement before the end of... Of course you don't. It's not going to happen. So I can't see the logic or the sense in cutting ties with Kennedy as it stands, because regardless of his form, we need him.
Agreed. And I think maybe, Norman, I will come to you for any extra points if you'd like to make them, but I think maybe being left out of the squad entirely might be the kick up his arse that he needs, because he does need one. So
I totally agree.
Norman, yeah. Do you have anything to add to that?
No, you've both covered it perfectly well. I agree with everything you've said. I think what I'll add is that I just think it's a shame to see someone of such a kind of not such natural talent just not really apply himself enough to realise his potential. And I think I mentioned it on a previous podcast a few weeks ago. To a certain extent, it's a make or break season for Kennedy in the Premier League. He's been out on loan before, it didn't work out. He hasn't been given any game time at Chelsea. There's obviously something there. He's got this opportunity to put himself in the shop window, because, you know, we wouldn't go out and pay the 25 million on that Chelsea would ask for, the 20 million. But I think if he doesn't make it at Newcastle this season, then he's probably going to get shipped out to, I don't know, Spain or Italy next year. And that's I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but if he wants to make it as a Premier League footballer, I think he's run out of chances, and it would just be a shame because he is very, very gifted.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, well, we'll talk about the first half now, I think. Norman, what did you think of five at the back? Do you think it was working for us? How was the goal for you? I think if you listen to the Matchday podcast, you'll hear how the goal was.
Another one
Norman,
chalked up, Norman, live goal.
Once again, yeah.
Honestly,
I think
Rondon needs to start paying me commission. I'm catching all of his goals live. I'm sure it's down to me. The five at the back worked beautifully. It worked absolutely beautifully. The reality is Watford, you know, as we expected, dominated the ball. But clear-cut chances, I can only think of the De La Feo chance. And that wasn't through anything particularly good by Watford. That was just miscommunication between the three centre-halves, you could see. You know, there was far too much space opened up and it was put on De La Feo's toe. Fortunately, De La Feo isn't... He's not particularly good when he's got a lot of time to think. With regards to his finishing, he can score beautiful goals, but he's not a composed centre forward, let's say. And that was all I can think of. And the reality is, until sort of Decore and Deeney came on, obviously we lost Fernandes. That was a massive blow, I thought. But for me, the actual key was Isaac Hayden having to go off with exhaustion, basically. Him and Diarmi had really screened the defence. They were just an absolute brick wall. Watford just weren't breaking through. And obviously Hayden goes off, and who do we bring on? Who can we only bring on? Shelvey. If it had been Key coming on for Hayden, I don't doubt we would have. I think we would have hung on and won that match. I genuinely think we would have hung on and won that match. But he, obviously his options are limited. He has to bring on Shelvey for an exhausted Hayden. Shelvey automatically being on the pitch is going to open up more space due to the type of player that John Joe Shelvey is. He's not a defensive screen. And that's I think, that is what ultimately hamstrung us. And as I said yesterday, they have got players of the quality of Deeney and Decore to bring off the bench. You know, we can't even replace a kind of defensive midfielder who hasn't played that regularly this season. It's just, again, highlights the ridiculous job that Rafa's doing with this squad of players to actually even have us competitive and out of the bottom three by New Year's Day is testament to him and his coaching staff. And I'll repeat that, you know, ad infinitum.
And just to add to that, I mean, if several people pointed out on Twitter last night that we're still starting with nine of our players are still starting who are on our championship side. Unreal. And we're out of the drop zone. Like, that is a massive testament to the skill of our management. Adam?
I was just going to ask, Norman, it's a really interesting point you make about communication at the back, because I've noticed that, and it's almost been, matching Lascelles' return to the side, that the communication at the back, certainly in a back three, is really sketchy at the minute. If you recall, I believe it was the first sort of 5-10 minutes of the Fulham game, Lascelles and Cher were just absolutely all over the place together. They had, and we've seen, I mean, Lascelles' form hasn't been tremendous. I mean, some of his passes yesterday were baffling, to be honest. But I mean, I didn't think he had the best game against Fulham all told, but he made a really important challenge at the end. But I just worry that, you know, without Fernandez there, do you remember when we had Clark, Cher, and Fernandez at the back? That probably seems our most stable back three. Now, actually, in a way, I don't want to discredit Paul Dummett, because I thought he was actually one of our best players yesterday, and I'm really, really pleased to see him back in the team, because he's really, really dependable. If you put him, if you ask who I want in the back three between Lascelles and Dummett, it's Dummett every single time at the minute, because I just think he's so much more assured. But what are your guys' takes on the communication and sort of what's changed, and why are we so shaky all of a sudden?
I mean, well, I don't know, but we were saying this on the match day yesterday, that, you know, passing is shoddy, and a lot of passing to Watford. I mean, the reason we caught Rondon's goal, or Norman caught Rondon's goal, all credit to Norman here, is because we'd come on to say, you know, there's very little going on, we're making some pretty shocking passes, when we are passing, we're passing to Watford. Lascelles sort of, I've got some reservations about Lascelles, and we can talk about them a bit later. Norman, what do you think? What's happening?
Well, I'll just launch straight into the Lascelles point. Interestingly enough, we did record a kind of post-match podcast yesterday, but on listening to it this morning, I binned it because I went full on.
Norman was not operating heavy machinery at this point.
I was operating heavy paints at this point. I was very deep into the world of drink, and I went on a full scale diatribe on Lascelles. I won't repeat what I said, because there was a lot of swearing and probably a lot of it down to like the hyperbole brought on by the consumption of alcohol. But I thought he was terrible yesterday, and at the moment, I don't know, I may be completely wrong here, but the body language on the pitch, his general kind of demeanour on the pitch, it isn't the Jamal Lascelles that was the captain during the championship and for the better part of last season. Now, whether it's a case of him kind of spitting his dummy earlier on in the season because he didn't want to play in a back three and that particular side of the back three, whether it's him maybe believing his own hype after all the kind of suggestions for an England call-up last season, I don't know. You know, this is pure speculation, but at this present moment in time, he's just not switched on enough for me. And I think what Adam says about the kind of back three of, you know, Clark, Shea and Fernandez, or Dummett as opposed to Clark, I actually think that's, at the moment, that's probably my strongest back three. And yesterday was evidence that there wasn't the leadership that Lascelles had provided. And unfortunately, the reality is, you've got Fernandez and Lascelles, both of them are centre-halves in the classic mold, absolute classic mold, winning the ball in the air, putting tackles in, getting the crowd up, that's what they do. Neither of them are particularly good passers of the ball, neither of them break from defence and create things from the back. That doesn't matter if you've got another centre-half in like that,
alongside
Lejeune or Shea. And at the moment, you know, Lascelles isn't doing anything better than I think Fernandez would, and it's horrible to see it, but if he was dropped from the side, I don't think I'd be too upset at the minute.
And to be honest, I think he's not getting picked on form. He's purely getting picked because he's club captain. And to be honest, as you've said there, Norman, if he wasn't in the side, guess who steps in? as our unofficial captain, it's Federico Fernandez. He is our unofficial captain. He's naturally absolutely, and Dubravka as well. So you've got two of them at the back who can organise.
Yeah.
Lascelles at the moment, I don't even see him talking on the pitch at the minute because I think he's quite inward and introvert at the minute because he knows his performances are fairly poor.
Well, I just wanted to make a point as well on Dubravka, which actually John made on the now discarded, embargoed podcast that we will never see the light of day. No. John made it, but it's an excellent point, and I think it's worth bringing up, is that every time, and it's in the last few matches as well, every time we've got, you know, a corner against us or a free kick near the goal, Dubravka's he's pointing out where everyone needs to be. He's calm. He's making sure that people are where they need to be and not panicking, and it's like I would probably put him above Fernandez purely on the games played and the fullness of games played, as our sort of acting captain, above Fernandez. But it's the sort of thing I would have expected to see from Lascelles, and I'm not seeing at all. Like, there's not much communication from him, and seeing that sort of calm, take control attitude from Dubravka is like, well, I'm biased because I'm in love with him, but
we all are.
I just think he's so good, but it just sort of adds to how good he is, I think, and how much of I just think he's such an excellent signing, but yeah, I wanted to make that point because, well, it was not going to get made on the podcast that now we'll never hear.
We'll have to release that at some point in the future, like some sort of... you know,
I've deleted all record of it ever existing. It never existed.
What was it, that Wu-Tang album that was only one made? And that awful pharmaceutical
that,
guy bought
that
it.
That
like,
pharmacy
we need to
guy
release it
it
as a one-off and...
Maybe Salomon will buy for $30,000 because of the fact that I'm bringing goals to his game.
All right, so listen, we've talked about it being a bit of a blow to lose Fernandez at half time. There was no way he was going to come on after the half time. He was already on the ground being tended to, and Cher came on, which I thought was a good substitution anyway, personally. Did we, Adam, look like we were going to get a second goal at all, do you think?
I mean, obviously, there was that moment when we had the disallowed goal, which came very soon after we'd scored. And what a power header. He had absolutely no right, Salomon Rondon, to meet that ball in the way he did against some massive bastards at the back of Watford's defence. They are big lads. And, you know, it just kind of shows, you know, it was absolutely fantastic. Let like a Salomon.
What I found
really interesting yesterday is that we started to play a slightly differently with Salomon Rondon. It wasn't quite Dwight Gayle mode, but we were knocking more balls over the top for him to run onto to face goal. It wasn't just that we were trying to find his chest or his head or his feet with him playing with his back to goal. We were knocking balls longer, so trying to find that in between the lines between the defence and the goalkeeper. And actually, if you recall, was it Ben Foster in goal? Who's in goal?
Yeah.
He had to do a bit of sweeper keeping outside the box a few times because we'd sort of breached those lines and caused a few problems. So we were actually trying to, and it demonstrated how, as much as he's not the fastest player in our team, Salomon Rondon, but he is a lot more mobile than other target men that we've had in recent years with Mitrovic and Murphy. So the fact that, you know, he was able to kind of play that, and he nearly got in a couple of times. So I think it was that last 15 minutes of the first half when we had our tails up after scoring that we probably looked more like scoring. And then the second half, it sort of went back to how it was in the first half, you know, that it was all Watford. But then we did have chances towards the back end of the game, I guess the sort of last 10-15 minutes, we did have a couple of chances where, you know, Perez had got into the box and they were getting men back as well. But no, for me, it was very similar to the Huddersfield game, you know, very few chances, very little possession. But, you know, one of the main chances that we did get, Rondon took and put it away and got his points. And I think there was a lot of similarities between those two games, even though one ended, you know, we could have easily won yesterday 1-0. We could have easily drawn 1-1 at Huddersfield. So it's it's knife edge stuff. Like, so no, I don't think we were ever sort of dominating in terms of chances. We're never going to, but we did what we had to do with very limited possession and chances. I don't know how you guys saw it.
Norman?
I completely agree with you. I think Rondon, I think the point that you make about us kind of putting more balls in front of Rondon, and maybe that could be tied in with the fact that he's actually fully fit now. I think we're seeing this is a genuinely fully fit Rondon. And obviously his confidence levels are sky high as well. The players in the team, I think, are now starting to look to him as the person who can provide that moment of inspiration, because to be honest with you, I always rated him, but I'm very surprised at how good he actually is. He's a fucking brilliant centre forward. There's no two ways about it. He is very good, and this is a person who has done nothing but graft his arse off in mediocre Premier League teams for the last 3-4 years. And you know, he's the kind of player you think, I'm just genuinely shocked that nobody's sort of top eight taking a chance on him. And I'm kind of hoping that, you know, that's not the case in the summer. I mean, us going out and signing him, who knows if that'll happen? Who really knows? But I'm just going to really, really enjoy having what I consider to be a proper number 9 back in Newcastle whilst he's here. The leadership, he provides, he leads the line, and he's utterly fearless. He's basically just a fucking walking bicep.
You know what I mean? We were calling him a refrigerator last night in the pub.
He's basically a refrigerator, a massive industrial refrigerator, like mobile. That is what he is.
Well, I mean, I love him. You saw immediately the difference yesterday when a ball got knocked over to him. And this is versus Hosslu in Liverpool, and maybe that's an slightly unfair comparison. But immediately, traps the ball, he allows his runners to come past him, and he lays it off. And it's something so damn simple that we don't get from Hosslu. And it was just immediately, the first time he did that, I thought, God, that's... I mean, we just didn't have that at all against Liverpool. So it's
he's also... go on. I was just going to say, he's also like, I mean, you know, it's hyperbolic, the song that we, you know, Shit Scared of Rondon, everybody singing that at the
great
end.
Great song, though.
Great, scared, you're Shit Scared of Rondon.
Yeah.
to the Watford defence. But I think there is an element of that. He's so big, he's such a unit that I think, you know, a good-ish defence should be a bit scared of him.
He's a smiling assassin. It's like when Mitrovic is just like all just snarling and sort of whites of his eyes and the teeth showing. Rondon just like, oh hi, I'm gonna absolutely pummel you next corner.
There was a good interview in Marca the other day, the Spanish football newspaper. Alberto Rubio, who's the Marca's northern based football journalist, interviewed Rondon, and it was a really good interview. But he called him El Gladiador, the gladiator, and that's he kind of is. You know what I mean? There's like this, just kind of, he's up top on his own, like battling. That's what genuinely it feels like when you watch him. And there's something almost fucking poetic in watching him. I'm really enjoying having him at the club. And as I say, I'm just going to enjoy him being here until the end of the season. So there you go.
Absolutely.
Excellent. And then I'm just going to round off the pod because I think we've sort of, you know, touched on it. I don't think we need to go too much into detail at Watford's goal. Their subs at half time turned them around a little bit, and it was you know, really disappointing. I thought personally that we might pip it in the injury time. We had a good free kick close to that goal, and I really thought, this is it, we're gonna do it, because we played so well yesterday and it was actually entertaining football for the first time in ages. No, sadly not. But just to talk a little bit about the context of our draw in terms of the table, there were two injury time. Mitro obviously at Fulham for Fulham and then Cardiff. Do you think they detract from our point at Watford, or Adam, what do you think?
No, I think a draw away to Watford's always going to be a good result. It's not been a happy hunting ground for us recently. What it does is that it stops the rot from a 4-0 against Liverpool. I mean, that's huge. Mm-hmm. And another defeat against Watford. You're going, that's two games on the spin that you've got defeats going into a very, you know, huge Man United game, which is going to be a very, very tough ask because they're a surgeon. Mm-hmm. I think it was really, really important that we stopped that rot. It's kind of a bit like Everton. When we went away, we got a really, really embattled good point at Goodison Park. I think it was immediately after losing 3-0 to West Ham. So it's kind of like we stop the rot immediately and we can just kind of reset. And it keeps our waveform absolutely sweet. You know, Liverpool is, it's a free hit. But if you take Liverpool out of there, our last sort of four away games have been absolutely superb, and are so far carrying our team. So I'm not gonna grumble about only getting a point at Vicarage Road, because ultimately we could have so easily lost that game, and any point's gonna be important, and you know it gives us a bit of a little bit of a platform for Man United.
Norman?
Yeah, absolutely bang on. You look at the Liverpool Arsenal match yesterday. Now, they just tanked a highly expensively assembled Arsenal side 5-1. They obliterated Arsenal, obliterated them. So the result against Liverpool, it's utterly irrelevant. And like Adam says, the fact that we went to Watford yesterday, played with confidence, that was the thing. It was almost like the Liverpool match had just been boxed off. It's like, yeah, look, we knew this was gonna happen, it doesn't matter. Take nothing from it. Let's just focus on Watford. And that's what they did. And the confidence that we showed yesterday against Watford, against a very good Watford side, by the way, away from home, team we've taken 4 points off, gives me hope that against Man United, yes, they are resurgent, as Adam says. But I think a point I made yesterday was that I don't necessarily think Solskjaer is a particularly good manager on a tactical level. And what you've got at the moment is you've got players playing with the freedom that they didn't have under Mourinho. So they're kind of just... they're almost playing purely on their own ability as opposed to any kind of great tactical input from Solskjaer. Like they've been released almost. So what I'm kind of hoping for is that Rafa will, due to the fact that he is a tactical manager, will just outclass Solskjaer on that side. And that's where I take the hope from. Rafa's the kind of manager who can go, right, this is a side clearly playing with just enthusiasm. This is how we stop them and this is how we get something. And yesterday showed really encouraging signs. The games against Man U and Cardiff, if we get 4 points out of those two games, brilliant. Obviously, because that stops Cardiff winning as well. Great result for Cardiff yesterday, by the way. But you know what? Cardiff won, Fulham won. They're still below in the table. And that's what we've got to cling to. And we've got to take the positives from the Watford performance. And hopefully, like a raucous St. James's Park on the second. Just like it was last season against Man U. And who knows? Really, who knows?
And Norman, the way you described Solskjaer there was exactly how I would describe Alan Pardew as a manager.
Do we have to talk about Alan Pardew? Please? No. All right, well, I will round us off there. There will be, for our patrons, a Man U preview coming up, as well as Man U Match Day and the free pod after, as well as loads of other wonderful podcasts this week. So if you've enjoyed this and you don't subscribe, do give it a good think. My words got wrong there, but you know what I mean. We have also, just FYI, changed our Twitter handle to TFNUFC, so that encompasses all of our the fanzine and the podcasts and any additional content we may put out, so do give us a follow if you don't. And thank you again to our patrons and fans, Bet, and we will speak to you soon.